But first, if you've ever wondered what it's like to take a ride in a car with no one sitting in the driver's seat, you could have your chance soon. Waymo announced last week it's expanding its self-driving program here in the Valley. Now more than 1,000 people signed up for the company's ride-hailing service will be able to try it out driverless. And the company says it's aiming to open the service to the general public soon. Our co-host Lauren Gilger spoke more about it with Andrew Hawkins, who covers transportation for The Verge.
Yeah, so starting this week, it's anyone who is a member of Waymo's ride-hail service called Waymo One. And last I checked with the company, they have around 1,500 monthly active users for that program. It's a paid service. It's a ride-hail service. It takes place, you know, over about 100 square miles. And so all of those folks now have access to these fully driverless cars. But Waymo says that in addition to those people, they want to open it up to the general public, meaning, you know, everyone else that lives in the Phoenix area. So that's going to happen over the next few weeks, it sounds like. But we don't have an exact timeline on when sort of people who aren't already signed up for Waymo's Waymo One program can start hailing these cars.
See, that would be a big step because they've been inching toward this for years now, talking about the day when the general public might be able to join in. So let's talk a little bit then about why now. Like, what metrics have been met, do you know, that allow Waymo to say, okay, we are ready to go fully driverless at this scale. We're ready for anyone to be able to jump into one of these cars with no driver in the seat.
So I think the top metric is safety. They feel like this is something that is safe to begin to invite people on board to use. Waymo is part of Alphabet. They were spun off of Google. This is a company that, you know, is obviously going to do its due diligence in terms of risk and liability. So they feel like there's minimal risk and minimal liability for inviting regular people on board to start taking trips in these cars. That, and it's also, I think, that they're just really confident in their technology. But that said, they're really confident in their technology within the parameters defined by this program. So that's 50 square miles, around half of the total service area that Waymo One covers, mostly centered in Chandler. So that means that they've mapped that area. They sort of know it down to like the centimeter, and they feel very confident about the car's ability to function within that zone.
Okay. So this may be opened up to the general public in the near future here, but it doesn't necessarily mean it'll be useful to everyone because it's still going to only operate in this area.
Correct. I see this as being something that a lot of people are going to start to use probably more for the novelty than for the usefulness of it. They're going to, you know, want, you know, to post on social media about riding in a car with nobody in the front seat. That's very exciting. It's new. It's futuristic. But at the same time, if you want to get to Target or your job or the coffee shop or wherever it is that you're going, this is probably not going to be that practical because it is sort of constrained to this geographic area. Now, that said, Waymo has said that they plan on introducing safety drivers, the backup drivers, back into the vehicle, into some of these cars, in order to expand the geographic area that these cars can function in. So there may be some mix of cars without people in the front seat, cars with people in the front seat, as they sort of try to grow their boundaries a little bit larger.
Yeah, so this is a very slow growth. Yeah. So what safeguards are in place even without the safety driver in the seat? Like, is there anything checking this beyond the car?
Yeah, there's a few things. So first, the person in the car is sort of interacting with the screen that's it's providing them with sort of a look at what the car is seeing, what the sensors are seeing around the car. So they can see on the screen in front of them that's on the back of the seat back, sort of an amalgam of what the car itself is seeing based on its cameras, its radar, its other sensors that it uses. In addition to that, there's several things that people can do if they need to stop the car, pull it over. There's a button in the headliner of the vehicle saying that you need to pull over to stop the vehicle. I think also one on the touchscreen as well. And then there's also remote assistance. So Waymo has a crew of people that watch these cars through the camera feeds real time, ready to step in if the car itself needs help doing something. If they encounter some sort of scenario, a double parked car, an accident maybe in the middle of a street, and the car doesn't know how to navigate around it, these remote operators can sort of offer prompts that helps the car navigate those scenarios. And also they're there to interact with the riders themselves. So if the rider needs something or feels unsafe or uncomfortable, that's something they can ask for remote assistance, sort of very similar to like OnStar, like you would. So there is a human at the touch of a button, just not one in the front seat.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. So final question then, and I'm sure this is the one you always get, but I mean, a few years ago, we were talking a lot about Uber and the accident that had happened with one of their self-driving cars here in the Valley where a woman was struck and killed crossing a street. that seemed like a big setback at the time in terms of the technology of self-driving cars getting out into the public in a quick fashion. Do you think that we are still on track for, you know, at some point in the future, this will be our reality?
I think that it's pretty inescapable when you have most of the car companies and big tech companies saying that this is going to be something that they hope to roll out and have at scale. I do think that that fatal crash in Tempe a couple years ago definitely threw a lot of cold water on the technology. Mm-hmm. And I really have a lot of skepticism about whether the future as autonomous can really survive another incident like that. And mm-hmm. it just seems that as this gets bigger, as there are more vehicles on the road in more cities across the country and around the world, honestly, it seems unavoidable that there will be something else that comes up. And how the industry responds to that is going to be, I think, really telling in terms about sort of what the survivability is of this technology, whether it's something that people want, because I think if you look at a lot of the polling that's done around self-driving cars, people are kind of very skeptical about it. You know, there's a lot of control issues. People don't want to give up control of a vehicle to a robot. So I think it will really be incumbent on the companies who are working on this technology to pitch this as something that is safer than what we currently have, which is honestly, we've internalized this concept of 40,000 people dying every year in traffic fatalities.
Right.
And this is going to be something that will hopefully bring that number down a little bit. So it'll really be incumbent on those companies to sell that message of safety in order to then bridge the gap that exists with the public and getting them into these cars and actually using them.
All right. That is Andrew Hawkins, a senior reporter with The Verge, joining us to talk about Waymo and their expansion here in the Valley. Andrew, thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks.